Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich. The power behind your pension.
I'm not saying this is your mother now.
That's what I'm doing.
But when you leave us here, you should go and watch Iris on this morning.
Oh, can I tell you something? I went a couple of years back. I went away to Sharm El Sheikh with my mum, and she had a sore foot, and I was rubbing her foot at the pool. And you want to see the daggers she was getting, because everyone thought I was all tanned and all, and everyone thought I was her toy boy or something. So I know all about Iris.
And, you know about Iris, and Mohammed.
What people go to Egypt for, apart from good falafel, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right, give us out that email address again then. DIYSOSLimerick@motive.ie.
Yeah, that's the one.
Or 01531 3306. You're looking for carpenters, painters, labourers and gates.
Yeah.
And it's from February 11th onwards, and we will see the product of all of that in September.
Yes.
Or thereabouts.
Yes, thereabouts.
Baz,
hey, you're a champ.
Mind yourself.
I appreciate
mind yourself.
It. Thank you very much.
That's it from us. Mary Wilson's on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Talk to us about protecting yourself from flu this winter. At All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Kickstart your future with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tuesday's Drive Time with Mary Wilson in studio.
And this is Philip Boucher-Hayes in the constituency of Tipperary for general election 2020.
Also, Fine Gael's Catherine Noon apologises for calling Leo Varadkar autistic. Autism Awareness Group As I Am's Adam Harris gives us his reaction. Belfast Bound, a private clinic clearing southern waiting lists, and the HSE picks up the tab. The text 51551, the tweet at Drivetime RTE. Almost 4 out of 5 second level schools have no applications to teaching posts they've advertised over the last 6 months. This is a new survey of more than 130 schools carried out by the Teachers Union of Ireland. Seamus Lahart is the TUI president. He's joining me now to discuss this staffing crisis. The poll, Seamus, found virtually all of the schools that responded, and it was a big response, 97%. They've all experienced difficulties recruiting the teachers, and half of them complained of difficulties as well, not just recruiting, but in retaining the teachers they have. Is this an urban problem, or is it equally spread urban and rural?
Hello, Mary. This may have been an urban problem, but this is nationwide. And whereas this was confined, you know, the shortage was confined to a number of subjects, the list of subjects is as long as 10. It's practically all subjects where difficulties are being seen.
Why? What's going on, Seamus, with the body of young people that are still taking on the master's course to qualify as teachers, not taking up jobs, not applying for jobs?
Well, the problem is they're graduates at, 24 years of age, 23, 24 years of age. They're looking at more attractive options in other employments. They're also looking at the discriminatory pay rates affecting new and recent entrants. Obviously, the unavailability of permanent whole-time contracts. Often bits of jobs are advertised. You know, the department describes that as permanency. Now, a 22-hour contract, CID contract, is equivalent to a permanent contract. But it may be the case that two teachers hold an 11-hour CID contract, which means that they're classified as being permanent, but both have half a job each. And obviously the accommodation costs in the vicinity of schools is an issue as well.
But two or three out of four schools are saying that nobody at all has applied for certain positions?
Yes, and
nobody's even answering the ads.
The killing thing about and what's worse about that figure is when we surveyed in April last year and we got a big response as well, that number was 68%. It's gone up now to 77%, which means the situation has actually worsened. And the problem is, you know, there's a new government coming in. The school-going population in second level is set to grow, peaking at 2025. So this issue will worsen for the period of the incoming government, you know, given that to the last 4 to 5 years. So unless something is done about it, it will get worse. And so that's why we're highlighting this. And that's one of the reasons that we have decided to take strike action next week.
So that's one of the reasons. What are the other reasons that you're going on strike next Tuesday?
Well, we've been promised a resolution to the discriminatory prepay going on 9 years now. And every year it's next year, you know, and everybody is in favour of resolving the issue. But everybody's in favour of resolving the issue next year or the year after. And we've lived on partial promises and partial resolutions to this issue. And we feel after sustaining that for 9 years, it's time to end discriminatory pay finally. And it's time to come up with a plan to do it now.
And in the last week of the general election campaign, you're essentially going to close every school in the country in the middle of the mock junior cert and leaving cert exams.
Yes, well, we took the decision. We indicated to the minister at our conference last Easter. He knew damn well at that point that our members had mandated us to do this. We tried every avenue and went down dead end roads everywhere. We told them in November that we were going to strike in early February. Mm. And, you know, they set the date of the election in early February.
They did. So, and when did you set the date of your strike action?
We set the date on last Friday week.
And when you hear the Minister for Education saying, I think it was yesterday, he talked about 2 billion in Fine Gael's allocation, that it would be factored into that education allocation for the next public sector pay round. What way do you see restoration happening?
Well, the problem for the Minister is he seems to be suggesting now that the payback for the restoration would come out of the next pay round.
Yeah.
In other words, he wants us to pay in 2021-22. He wants us to pay for something that was taken from new entrant teachers in 2010.
But I'm wondering, Seamus, in the middle of a general election campaign, what now can stop you not calling this strike for next Tuesday or calling off this strike for next Tuesday now, given that we don't know at this stage who the next Minister for Education will be or what the shape of the next government will be?
I know that politicians are, you know, they're going around the country making promises. We have to have and there will be a programme for government devised in the next month or so. We have to put it into politicians' heads.
I know, but
this is simply a problem that is not going away. It's getting worse, and it must be resolved. And it must have solid progress on the matter, and it must end, you know, shortly. We've lived with false promises.
The strike is on for next Tuesday. Seamus Lenhart.
I can't see it being called off.
TUI President, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Now, preparations are underway to evacuate Irish citizens trapped in the Chinese region at the centre of the coronavirus outbreak. The death toll in China from the virus has risen to 106, the number of infections jumping to more than 4,500. The virus has now spread to at least 16 countries around the world, and Germany is the latest country to confirm a case. In Ireland, members of the Chinese community have expressed concern about the presence here of a tour party from the region of the country where the coronavirus originated. Paul Cullen is the health correspondent for the Irish Times now, and he joins me. And Paul, the US, the UK, other countries as well are now preparing to evacuate their citizens from Wuhan and the surrounding area as this virus continues to spread. What's the plan for Irish citizens in the affected areas?
Well, Mary, the Department of Foreign Affairs said yesterday that they were exploring the options that were available, including what they call commercial options, presumably commercial flights, to help Irish citizens leave. Now, the number involved is quite small, somewhere between 6 and 8. So it's likely that the Irish arrangements might piggyback on the arrangements of one of our European neighbours. As you said, some countries are already, like the US and Japan, are sending planes. There's some unhappiness among British citizens in the affected regions in China about the arrangements or lack of arrangements, they say, by their government. So at this stage, there's no update from the Department of Foreign Affairs today.
And if we are bringing back our citizens, will they have to go into quarantine?
That seems likely, and that's certainly the expectation among the Irish who are in the affected part of China, and it's figuring in their calculations. with the incubation period of this virus, still unknown but thought to be somewhere around up to 14 days, it is likely that once they leave an affected region, that they would have to go into some form of isolation or quarantine before they could get the all clear.
In China or in Ireland?
Well, initially it's possible it could be in China, but what we're seeing is that more and more regions of China are affected by the spread of this virus. So it seems more likely that this would take place in Europe, away from China, because there aren't too many places. For example, in Beijing, we saw the first fatality from the virus today. So the situation is continuing to get worse there, and the options are limiting.
And meanwhile, I know you've been speaking to members of the Chinese community here, and they have concerns.
They do, and they voice them on their forms of social media. In particular, their focus was on there was a tour group that left China before the travel lockdown occurred from the authorities, and travelled to Europe. And we know that they were in Britain, and they travelled on the Holyhead ferry and arrived in Ireland for a brief visit at the weekend. And there are pictures on Chinese social media of a member of the group posing in front of tourist sites such as the Titanic Centre in Belfast and Trinity College. And there are a few comments now. They have been translated from Chinese, but where the person was saying that they were the only tour from Hubei, which is the affected province, that could travel in the UK, and that's not easy. But that prompted something of a backlash, I suppose, on the social media posts from people who are here who were concerned that this had happened, and also that who have a general concern, I think, that having experienced SARS in their own country, they aren't perhaps seeing the level of visible mobilisation against the threat that they would be used to in their own country. And one manifestation of that is the fact that they've gone out and bought a lot of surgical masks. And in fact, some of the suppliers I talked to yesterday had run out of supplies of surgical masks.
The Department of Health, the National Public Health Emergency Team, met yesterday. I gather this was a low-key meeting, but is there any striking line from it?
No, there isn't, and I think low-key is the tone that they're trying to set. As you know from last week, they have issued instructions to health centres, to health care centres and to the Dublin Airport in terms of awareness and protocols and what they call algorithms. It sounds like a mathematical solution, but they've issued algorithms for the treatment and isolation of suspected cases, and we haven't had one yet, thankfully.
All right, Paul Cullen of the Irish Times, thank you very much. After the break, we're joining Philip in Tipperary.
Just 5 more minutes.
Phones, tablets, TVs, computers. With so many screens, it can be tough to get kids up and active. Make a start by making bedrooms screen-free zones, putting the screens away during mealtimes, playing active games together, and reducing screen time by 30 minutes a day. That goes for mum and dad too. Pause for play today and start your kids on the way to a healthier life. For more ideas on getting active, visit makeastart.ie. Brought to you by Safe Food, HSE and Healthy Ireland.
Unaccompanied learner drivers and the owners of the car they drive now face stiffer penalties, with almost 2,500 cars having already been seized. If you've had a learner permit for some time, there's never been a better time to apply for a driving test. The average waiting time for a driving test is less than 6 weeks, and even less if you need one in a hurry. Passing your test could lower your insurance costs and, more importantly, make you a better, safer driver. Visit passthetest.ie. A message from the Road Safety Authority.
It's hard to break a habit of putting businesses into boxes. They are safe hands or visionaries, numerate or creative, analogue or digital. At PwC, we think beyond the expected. Perspective is everything. In an era of continual change, businesses with vision look for partners who can drive transformation. Problem solvers who share an ambition to shape the future, not simply follow it. PwC. Think beyond.
Drive Time with Mary Wilson on RTÉ Radio 1. And indeed, exactly as Mary said, we are in the constituency of Tipperary in Thurles, right in the main square, just before the 5 o'clock rush when things will get a little bit busier. There comes a point in most general election campaigns where the policy and vision stuff tends to get binned and the parties start appealing to our bottom lines. And Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, People Before Profit, all except Labour and the Green Party have offered reductions in universal social charge or income tax. But obviously, what you give back with one hand, you must take with the other in the form of public services that will be denied. So, to borrow a phrase from Enda Kenny, which is more important to Paddy? 50 quid a month in his wallet or better housing, public transport and hospitals? Barry Denehan has been taking soundings in some of the less well-off parts of the constituency. What have you been hearing, Barry?
You know, across the constituency, Philip, there are issues with regards health over South Tip General Hospital and the hospital in Nina as well. Calls for a greater Garda presence, in particular in Clonmel and Carrick. I'm sure issues around rural roads and issues too with regards economic investment. I started the day off in Tipperary town, where people, a march for Tip people, took to the streets calling for government task force to revitalise the economic fortunes of that town. That investment, that task force, now in the offing, but what other services are needed for places like Tipperary town and indeed across the constituency, and what do people want out of this election? I first spoke with Martin Quinn, a community activist in Tipperary town.
I'm asking that there would be, I suppose, a concentrated effort to bring investment into town. One of the things that concerns me is that we don't have enough jobs. You know, that is the key thing. It's the key thing that's coming out all the time is jobs for Tipperary town.
Empty shop fronts still blight the streetscape here.
Yes, they do. If we bring industry into the town, and I think we can look at industry in different ways. We can look at maybe smaller startups, you know, of 50 to 100 people.
Lots of talk in this election about giving people an extra, maybe a fiver in the pocket, but for people in Tipperary, perhaps investment in services is something that would take urgent priority, and particular health services, you think?
We're in an area, I suppose, we're very close to Cashel. Cashel is only 12 miles away. Our nearest hospital then is South Tipperary General in Clonmel. I'm a stroke survivor, so I've gone through the mill in relation to health services. I've been on the trolleys. I've been denied access to a stroke unit. I think there would be great concern here that Cashel Hospital, which is fully fitted out, remains closed. For mental health particularly, there is huge concern here in this town about mental health services. I have engaged with the mental health services on a voluntary basis with different organisations. So I know firsthand of people that have difficulties getting access to the services following the closure of St Michael's in Clonmel. I mean, the nearest hospital is in Kilkenny.
Is rural crime, for instance, still an issue?
Yes, it is. And we want to see more Gardaí on the beat. I suppose that would be one of the key things in towns and villages. That's something that I think the government have to look seriously at.
Has Tipperary as a county suffered, perhaps, by not having an influence at the cabinet table and no TD representing the main government party?
Tipperary would be considered by people here as being the forgotten town. We haven't had anybody around the government, around the cabinet table. You know, we need somebody for this area, you know, whether they're a member of a government or supporting a government or whatever, but we need somebody that's there to support Tipperary and to fight the cause for this town. For too long, Tipperary has been neglected and it has been put on the back burner.
Martin Quinn in Tipperary town, also former president of Muintre na Tíre, next to the rural village of Killinall, where the local GP is Dr. Lucia Gannon.
A lot of good news at the moment for general practice and even for rural general practice. There's a lot of investment promised. There is a new deal has been done recently. There will be a lot more money put into rural practices as well as the urban deprived practices. But there are still lots and lots of challenges as well, and some things that are not so good. And around the country at the moment, there's about 22 GMS vacancies all around the country. And while that may not seem a lot, for every one of those doctors. A lot of other services have been taken away from those patients as well, because they don't have a GP to coordinate services.
And what is the situation in terms of any potential shortage in Tipperary? I know you're in Killinall, but are other villages struggling?
In Tipperary was fairly badly hit over the last... So there was a GP in practice in Gertnahoo, where the practice was advertised for a good few times. Then the GP came back and did his... Even though he was well over retirement age, came back and worked his own locum, and now a solution has been found whereby a town practice comes out and provides some services to that community. But again, the heart of that community is gone. There is no GP in that community. There's nobody there that they can say, that's my GP and I'll be going to them in 20 years time when I get sick or whatever happens.
Prospective electoral candidates, what could they offer rural GPs and the sector in terms of investment? What more could they offer?
Instead of focusing on delivering free healthcare, which sounds great, and I mean, who wouldn't want it, they could focus on providing affordable healthcare for people. But there are lots of people I see every day who are on the fringes, of the borders of the limits for medical cards, and they need to come regularly to see their GP, but they cannot, because they cannot afford it.
Your surgery in Killinall often chock-a-block 15-16 patients a morning maybe. What sort of pressure then, or what knock-on pressure could that have for the other medical services in the constituency? I'm thinking perhaps of South Tip General Hospital or the hospital in Nina.
When I say to somebody, as I did this morning, I said I need to send you into hospital, they literally hold on to the chair and say, no, I don't want to go in there. I was in there with my father. I was in there before Christmas. It's have you been in there recently, doctor? Do you know what it's like? That's the biggest issue. So we're trying to keep people out of hospital just to be humane, which sounds awful, but it's the way it is.
Mary Dorn was the 2019 Tipperary Carer of the Year from near Clonmel. She cares for her uncle and 80-year-old mother, and she feels carer considerations should be given greater provenance in this election.
Carers only get less than 90 cents an hour to provide 24-hour care. Even once you receive that payment, there is very little supports for the carer themselves. Very little or limited access to respite. If my mum or my uncle needed respite, a lot of times the best way to get it would be if they presented an A&E. The community-based respite is very difficult. You can't get respite in your own home, which is also a challenge, because most older people who are being cared for by a loved one would prefer to stay at home.
Lots of talk in this election about tax cuts for everyone. Is there enough talk for you in terms of investment for carers?
There's actually very little talk about it. There's a lot of talk about the slaunch of care and primary care, but primary care begins in the home. As a carer, you know, I'm doing a job every day, and I suppose if you expect somebody to perform a job whereby they're only getting 90 cents an hour, best case scenario, they get no entitlement to respite. The Carers Association are now looking for 20 days a year where the government will commit to giving respite.
Mary Doran talking to Barry there. So summing that up, this is a constituency where the best way to get care and attention is to go to A&E, and the doctors are actually hesitating before sending their patients to the hospital. What way is all of that going to affect the current political lie of the land? It's a 5-seat constituency. We have 3 independents, 1 Labour and 1 Fianna Fáil currently. Barry, which of the two independents that are vying for poll topping at the moment is actually going to get it? Matty McGrath or Michael Lowry?
Yeah, well, for only the second time since 1944, Tipperary is amalgamated as one constituency. Michael Lowry, Jean Poole Fine Gael, Matty McGrath, Jean Poole Fianna Fáil. If you speak to Michael Lowry, Matty McGrath will top the poll. If you speak to Matty McGrath, Michael Lowry will top the poll. Lowry got it last time. He's topped the poll every election he stood in since 1997. But the local observers say that the former All-Ireland set dancing champion Matty McGrath may top the poll this time. He took 14.5% 4 years ago.
Something which they always regard as a poisoned chalice. Fianna Fáil running 3 candidates. How does that make the sitting Fianna Fáil TD Jackie Cahill feel?
Well, Cahill is regarded as safe in this constituency. He took 9.5% in third place in 2016 and is being tipped locally, perhaps, as a potential junior minister should Fianna Fáil get into power. A former president of
the ICMSA and should pull a big vote from the farming community. His running mates are Imelda Goldsborough and Sandra Farrell. Fianna Fáil does feel it has an outside chance of a second seat here, but Goldsborough is based out of Ballingarry, while Sandra Farrell is a former Labour councillor and a former mayor of Nina, which should make things rather spicy with Labour's Alan Kelly.
Yes, speaking of Alan Kelly, are we going to be treated to the sight of another fist-clenched, vein-popping, neck-strained election victory photograph?
Well, Kelly is severely hampered in this election by a constituency redraw. He'll lose 1,000 votes, with parts of Newport going into Limerick, which is the only part of Tipperary to have a sitting Labour councillor. However, his profile has grown since the last election. His brother was the sponsor of the All-Ireland winning hurling Tipperary team last year. That will help too. And Vicky Phelan and the Tip hurling manager, Liam Sheedy, launched his campaign on Saturday, where there was bullish talk of Kelly becoming the next Minister for Health. Adding spice further to the North Tipperary battle is the presence of strong independent candidate Joe Hannigan, who could pull votes from the southern end of the constituency as well, owing to his roots in Tipperary football.
So, at the moment you're calling it as 2 independents, 1 Fianna Fáil, 1 Labour. Seamus Healy independent and Fine Gael for this 5th seat. Which of them do you think?
Well, Seamus Healy, his political obituary has been written many times since he was first elected in this constituency in a by-election in 2000. Based in Clonmel, he represents the Workers and Unemployed Action Group. Fine Gael split a quota here between its candidates in 2016, and internal polling suggests it could be likely to do the same again. Its candidates, Mary Newman Julian, the sister of Kate O'Connell, the Dublin Bay South TD, and Councillor Garrett Ahern. Miss Newman Julian is put forward by party headquarters is the more likely victor. Ahern is favoured by the bookmakers. And Fine Gael internal research, it shows that Fine Gael will need a national poll rating of 30% in order to guarantee a seat here. And at the moment, the suggestions are it's dicing with danger and could once again be left with nothing.
Barry, thank you very much. Many of the names that you've just heard there will be joining us just after 5:30 for a candidate debate. Do join us then.